Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one daily radio show for the HR professionals. And today, my partners in crime, Brian Wimpen and William Tinkup, are not available. So this is going to be me doing a solo with our wonderful guest, Molly Weaver. Hey, Molly, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you here with us today. So to our audience, those who don't know of you, we would appreciate if you can talk a little bit about yourself, and then we kind of kick off with our great question.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Molly Weaver. I am the Director of Talent Acquisition for Children's Mercy Hospitals and Clinics in Kansas City, Missouri. And so what Children's Mercy is, it is a freestanding pediatric medical center, and we have over 6,000 employees, 400 pediatric specialist physicians, 2,200 plus nurses, and all sorts of allied patients. We also have about 354 bed hospitals, and we also have 20 outreach clinics, and we do over 300,000 outpatient visits a day. Or a year, I'm sorry, not a day, my goodness, and 147,000 emergency room visits. So we are very busy taking care of all the kids in Kansas City and our region. So it's a little bit about us.
Wonderful. Wonderful to hear a little bit of a different industry, hospitality, and the recruitment in the hospitality industry is that what our audience are most keen to hear about. So what's keeping you up at night these days in this, you know, busy schedule, working in a hospitality industry? What's generally keeping you up at night?
You know, what I would tell you is, you know, I think in any recruiting world, there are two things that I would say. First, I have a high volume of applications. For some of my jobs, I usually describe Children's Mercy as a small city. We have everything from housekeeping and food service and maintenance and all of the things, security and groundskeeping, all the way up to really high-level surgeons and pediatric specialists. And so I have kind of a two-pronged problem. I have almost too many people wanting to do some of the entry-level jobs and too few wanting to do the upper level jobs. So I actually split my team and my department into those two areas. And with the volume roles, we concentrate more on how to use technology and how to best filter and find the best of the applicants. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have recruiters that I recruited from search firms to come in here and serve that purpose within our organization and find the very best talent that may be working somewhere else and not thinking about changing jobs at this point and how, and then pulling them in, which involves, you know, not only selling our organization but selling the city itself and all the amenities that Kansas City has to offer. So I kind of could stay up two nights, I guess, in a row and talk about either one of those sides and the worries that they both bring with them.
Well, that is indeed a great start. Well, in fact, if we can talk a little bit more about, you know, how challenging it is to do this high-volume recruitment when it is all about, you know, specialized skill set and you're actually talking about skilled employees right now here, right?
Right. So, you know, I'll take one position, for example. We have over 300 nurse practitioners. So they're advanced practice nurses. They are, kind of the bridge between the nursing profession and the physician. They're able to practice independently. They are in hugely high demand right now across the country. A lot of the urgent care or drugstore clinics that you see are manned by nurse practitioners. And we have a high demand for them as well. And so it's, and we want people that are in very niche professions. You know, we look for ones that have been in high critical care departments such as cardiology or cardiac surgery or in a pediatric intensive care unit. And there aren't, A, that many of them. B, we're the only one in Kansas City and in our immediate area. And so we're having to call people from all over the country and try to draw them into Kansas City. So, like I said, I went out and purposely hired a couple of search firm recruiters that had that type of background, asked them to come work inside Children's Mercy. And we've been really successful at finding and bringing in talent from all over. You know, we actually found someone in Alaska last year and brought her to Kansas City to work. So I think it's I think for high volume or for these highly niche positions, you have to be able to go out and search. They're not going to come to your website and apply, and they're not usually on the job board. So I think that's been really an important strategy for our success in general is taking that search firm model instead of outsourcing it or going out and using contingent firm and retained firms is we brought that specialty in-house and have them doing virtually the same type of work but for Children's Mercy inside.
Wonderful. It's great to know that you are managing it in-house itself. It's really challenging to do that in-house when you're managing highly skilled employees. As you said, they're not on the job board or they're not on the social media platforms, but then still it's through reference and it's through people that you know you're bringing in people. So how about that screening process of these highly skilled people when you are recruiting them? Are you doing sort of, you know, phone screening the most or one-on-one face-to-face interview? What works for you?
You know, I think it depends on the candidate. And I'll give you some examples of how we and we do utilize really strongly video interviewing, particularly on the volume areas, but we also use it a lot with some of these highly specialized recruits. And the way we use it there is more, again, trying to get their interest and get them hooked enough to want to come visit Kansas City and visit Children's Mercy. So it's more or less it's taking maybe one of our highly specialized physicians and asking them to spend a half an hour with a candidate on the phone to talk about the program or talk about the specialty and how we're growing it in Kansas City. I think that that opportunity that they would have to talk to an expert can often tip the balance to make them want to leave a comfortable position or leave where they are and at least consider new opportunities. So we use that. Like I said, you know, the two recruiters I hired from a search firm background have some of those skills of, finding people because it is a lot of searching and who do you know and who do they know and who do they know, kind of spider webbing out to find the candidates. But then it's also talking to them, finding out about what would drive them to make a move and trying to see if we can provide those things. And then it's not only selling the position, it's selling the city, and Kansas City is a place to live. So we've worked really closely with our Convention and Visitors Bureau and various other places to just kind of say, here's what Kansas City offers, here's what Children's Mercy offers. And I think you have to sell both. And, you know, like I said, I would tell you when I got to Children's Mercy, I've been with Children's Mercy about 5 years, when I got here, they're like, well, you can't recruit people from the coast to come to Kansas City. And we've been really successful at pulling people from Boston Children's and New York and bringing them into Kansas City and having them be successful in our environment. So I think it's, you have to sell the whole package, not just, you don't have to just understand the job. You have to understand the candidate and match the two to make it the right fit.
I know. And, the right fit, that matters.
And sometimes it's a long, it's a long process. I will tell you, we have somebody we started talking to 3 years ago that is now thinking about making a move to Kansas City. So sometimes it's not a week and you're done. It takes time to build the relationships and build the trust to make the change. So.
I know. I wanted to pinpoint that factor that you said, the trust factor that you said, because this is, at the end of the day, the people have to interact with the common people, like the patients, and they have to have a comfortable situation while interacting with each and every employee in your organization, right? So the assessment, which is really important as far as the hospitality industry is concerned, like it's not just hospitality, but then still, when we talk about hospitality or children's mercy, it is like a crucial factor that everybody in that organization treat their customers, that internal customers, it's the patients, like everybody, treating everybody in a well manner. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that assessment factor or if any tools that you use to measure or to identify, yes, the candidate is a right fit, matching to the culture, but at the same time, the position-specific competencies are also there.
You know, I think I always describe Children's Mercy as a magical place. We care for very sick children, and I actually, my first interaction with the hospital, I came as a parent, not as an employee. And my husband and I would walk out of the hospital and go, my goodness, those people are amazing. And I think it is a secret sauce that is in our people, and it is a it's a true caring for people no matter what. You know, I must look extraordinarily confused or something when I'm walking around the hospital, but when I would be there with my infant, I can't tell you how many times somebody with a housekeeping cart or a armful of papers would stop what they were doing and turn around and take me where I needed to go. Our hospital, like many older hospitals, it's been added on to and changed around so many times that it can be somewhat of a maze for those that aren't in it every day. So I think assessing for culture fit is critical. You know, right now, we're not using a lot of real scientific assessment tools. We utilize, as I said earlier, particularly in our high-volume areas, we do an initial screening through video, and I think we have found that that is one of the most crucial things that we can do. It allows us to see more candidates by utilizing video in that way, and we can pick up culture really quickly through some of the questions that we ask. But right now I'm not using an assessment vendor. I'm really guarded about our candidate experience, and I want to make sure that we're not asking candidates to invest hours up front unless we're truly interested in them.
Right.
And we've been pretty successful with assessing culture, but you're extraordinarily right. You can have all the technical skills in the world and be the wrong culture fit for our organization. But we usually pick up on that pretty fast because it is all about others in our organization and all about the kids. And I will tell you that I sit in many meetings where at the end of the day they like, but how does this affect the kids being our patients? How does this affect the children in our care? And I think that's a great basis for making decisions about where you're going as an organization.
Wonderful. Well, if you can talk a little bit about the candidate experience and how video interviewing is helping you do, helping you provide a better candidate experience.
Well, you know, one of the first problems I tried to solve when I got here is we were in the middle of graduate nurse season. We're in the middle of it now, so it starts, and all my recruiters and the managers were coming in every Saturday and interviewing from, like, 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, well, that's the best time to catch these candidates because they're in they're not only in nursing school, they're typically working in a hospital, either ours or another one, or another facility. They work a lot of night shifts. And I'm like, well, but there has to be a better way. And at that point, we found HireVue, and they've been our video interviewing partner ever since. So that was almost 4 years ago. So we've been with video interviewing for a while. But what we found and what I have found extraordinarily fascinating is that a large percentage of my candidates do their interviews between midnight and 5 in the morning. And what that tells me is that's when they're awake, and that's when they're at their best. Because I will also tell you the story. When I first started working here, I came through the lobby one day, and there was a candidate waiting for an interview, and I thought she was asleep. And I talked to the recruiter later, and I said, she just looked really tired. And I said, did she do okay? And they said, well, yeah, but they said she'd worked all night and stayed up another 2 or 3 hours to come in and talk to us. And I'm like, well, that's not good for her or for the organization, because we obviously didn't get her when she was at her best. So I think from what our candidates tell us is that this video interviewing, this let me do it on my time when it's good for me, is a great boon for them. They love that process. From our perspective, it allows us to see more candidates quicker, and it also lets my night managers, who used to not be involved in the grad nurse recruiting process much because they obviously worked at night, and that's not when we were interviewing, but that's where we put most of our new nurses. They start on the night shift and move on to other shifts as time goes on. So now they can view the videos when they're there, and they can watch it, and they can participate in the decision-making. You know, all the way around, I think it's been a win from candidates, from recruiters, from hiring managers. And like I said, it's spread throughout the hospital because people would hear that, well, nursing's using this, and now everybody wants to have that tool. But, you know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it also helped our candidates. And from what I hear from our candidates, it helps them get their point across and lets us see more of them, I think.
I know, and it's really fascinating to hear, like, most of the position, if they are to do a night shift and wanting to know how that candidate is going to be when it comes to working in a different shift and kind of get to know their culture fit, which is totally unique. But as you said in the very beginning, chances are there when we use, you know, what video interviews, biases can happen by looking at the low. Sometimes the candidate may not be comfortable using a video. Sometimes the recruiter may not be efficient enough to, you know, judge or evaluate that candidate's presence. Did you have any sort of bias when you were using video interview in the first place? Not now, but in the beginning.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you, it was funny. In the first grad season that we did it, we had several units were like, oh, she just was nervous, or, oh, the video scared her. And they brought, I would say, 5 or 6 candidates in based on that basis. And every time afterwards, they're like, you know what? She was the same way in person. So what they found is they kind of validated themselves. They were like, oh, we thought it was just the video, and it's not. I have watched hundreds of the videos at this point, and I will tell you, I don't think it, you know, you can allow for nervousness, but you allow for nervousness in any interview, whether it's live or video or whatever. So, I mean, you have to allow a certain allowance for that. But I have found them to be fairly true to, again, what we've seen in person. And, you know, it's allowed us to narrow the field much quicker. But you're right. You know, I hear that. I've had people say, well, if you're using a video interview, you can see them. And I'm like, if you're doing an in-person interview, you see them then too, right? So to me, there's no more bias than you would have. And I often say a video interview to me is more legally defensible because I can prove I asked the exact same questions to every candidate on a video interview, and I can't do that in a live in-person interview. So both of those factors make me like video a little bit better. So.
Wonderful. Well, in fact, it is wonderful to hear and wonderful for our audience as well so that they can avoid some of the biases that can happen when they are using video interviews in the very beginning and then try to use it more effectively. So looking at the, you know, the candidate pool, where do you find most of your candidates from?
Oh, that's a great question, but I think it often depends on the position. You know, we are lucky in Kansas City to be an employer of choice. We've been one of the best places to work in Kansas City for the last 10 years. So we are a place where people want to come to work. So for some of those entry-level jobs, I have an abundance of local applicants that are fabulous. It's when I get into the niche positions that I have to look more broadly. But the vast majority of our entry-level talent is local, and I love that. I'd like to get more of it local, but some of it we just don't either have the training or some of the things or the volume that we would need to support our organization locally. But I don't use a lot of the major job boards. We use our own job board most exclusively. I use some niche boards for really specialized jobs and positions. We'll go post on the lab portals or some of those things for some of these really highly specialized lab or research positions. But, you know, we have a very strong employee referral program. We get a lot of great people through our employee referral program. We use our own job board, and we have it scraped to several different sites. We also partner well with some of the employment groups in Kansas City, in both Kansas and Missouri, trying to help those that may have lost other employment find new employment. We partner with them quite well. We've done some training programs through them to try to skill up workers and make them ready to come work at the hospital. So we're proud of those kind of things. But, you know, a lot of the niche jobs, it's a lot of searching and shoe leather. I will say LinkedIn, from a recruiter perspective, is really helpful. We've recently found some tools that are working for us on Facebook and Twitter to some extent. So I think it's finding what works for that particular job, finding out where those people are spending their time. And we do a lot when we intake a new rec or when a recruiter goes meets with a hiring manager for the first time. We spend a lot of time asking where people like this hang out and what they do and what they like. And we'll go talk to current incumbents in that job and kind of see what they do to keep up on their profession. And that is usually where you will find great people, is if you find out where they're hanging out when they're not working for you.
That's great to know that you guys are highly active on social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about that, that's a great segue to my next question. How do you build, you know, Children's Mercy company image as a, what would I say, as a desirable place to work?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think It's a lot of different things. I think, you know, like I said, locally in Kansas City, we are very well known, and almost I tell people all the time, I don't think you can raise a child in Kansas City without touching Children's Mercy at some point. They're going to fall, they're going to break a bone, they're going to end up in our urgent care or somewhere in our system. So I think that's part of it, and it's part of keeping that special sauce, if you will, that special culture alive. And if we can do that, then we'll continue to be successful here locally. We're honestly still building our national reputation. A lot of folks outside Kansas City don't know who we are. And so that is a little bit more of a challenge. And to do that, like I said, we partnered with our Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they helped us take a video that they did to sell Kansas City and incorporate some of our own hospital information, which is a great first send that we do to candidates that we're trying to hook to come to Children's Mercy in Kansas City, because it shows a little of the city and a little of the hospital and kind of sells both of them together. But I think, again, building that nationally is a lot of work, and we're not there yet, but we've got the local thing pretty covered at the moment. So.
That's great to know. Well, in fact, we started talking about high-volume recruitment or high-volume hiring and the challenges of it, and you talked a little bit about the technology challenges that you are facing currently. So what are some technological difficulties or challenges that you have faced in the beginning and then you sorted it out right now and it is working well for you?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you, I'll take one job again, because that's usually the way I look at problems. So I looked last year at our admissions representative. So that's a pretty entry-level job. That's who greets you when you come in, takes your insurance information, gets you all registered and ready to see either the physician or they have the appointment that you're there for. So if you look at that job, we had 7,500 applications, and we hired 55. And how do we get to that, from that 7,500 to that 55 that we know are right? So I think we've been trying to do a lot of work about, you know, making the job more clear, because sometimes no one knows what an access representative is unless you've been in a hospital for a while. So making them understand that. And then working with video interviewing and with different screening tools to try to narrow down the people that will work in that environment. So I think the technology tools that I've found that have worked best for us in high volume has been definitely the bit of video interviewing. It saves time, both from a candidate perspective and a recruiter perspective. And I think it also gives our candidates an opportunity to tell their story. I wouldn't interview half as many if I was doing them in person. Because, you know, I always I use an example. I saw one of my recruiters late in the afternoon one day, and I said, "Wow, you look tired." And she's like, "Yeah, I just watched 32 video interviews." And I was like, "Oh, my gosh." And she goes, "But wait a minute, Molly. If I'd seen 32 people in person, it would have taken me 2 weeks or more." And I'm like, "Oh, you're right." And she'd done that in one day. Now, I wouldn't recommend it, because I think she was a little bleary-eyed, but what it tells me is we can be much more efficient using technology and find better people. To do that, you know, I actually survey the people that we don't hire. So the people that get rejection letters from Children's Mercy, I send them a survey about their experience, because I want to understand. I think if you just survey the people you hired, they're pretty happy, right? They got the job, they're all excited and ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give you a real honest assessment of your process. And really what I read most from candidates was, if somebody would have just talked to me, I would have the job. And that kind of accelerated, quite frankly, my use of video interviewing on entry-level jobs, because I was like, you know, they have a point. Sometimes if you take the flat resume and that's all you ever see, you miss some exciting things about it. And I will tell you, I think we're doing a better job at selection. Don't have a lot of statistics to back it up. It hasn't been long enough. But I think we're doing a better job of selecting because we are seeing more candidates than we were when we had to just do what we could fit in a regular workday.
Well, it is great to know, Molly, and it's been a wonderful conversation. And we are actually running out of time, so where can people find you and come and connect with you?
Yeah, you know, I am on Twitter. It is MollyW323. And then my email would be mweaver@cmh.edu, and I'd love to interact with anyone. I always love ideas, so if somebody has a new idea, I'd love to hear it.
Well, great to have you here with us today, Molly. And to our audience, we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Heidi, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.